You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority as we broadcast live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, Bernstein and Holmes with you. We will have theoretical victory chicken today. We will taste chicken in our hearts
and minds. Yeah, we can't even send pork to Popeyes.
Yeah, right?
Because he's ducking us.
Ducking us because his team sucks and his quarterback is stupid. So he's Mr. Titans is staying home today as we are here for our first of 17 post-football shows. They're not all Mondays, right?
No.
This year. So this is...
And then next week, we're all going to be sleep-deprived when we walk in here.
Yeah, that's all right, though. That's because...
Good Sunday night game last night, too.
Yeah, it was.
I'll watch those teams play every week.
There's been a lot of interesting football played already, a lot of serious injuries already. Football is footballing everywhere. And the listeners have told me that because the game is on ABC7 locally...
You're set.
I may be. I got it because ever since WEX redid some things and EOC Audio redid a bunch of things, I may have to call them to figure out how to put the antenna.
I think if you just change the input, you're good.
If they hooked it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have another TV?
I do, but I don't know if the other TV is hooked up to the antenna in the attic.
I'm just saying you could literally just go get a pair of rabbit ears for like $6.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll figure it out.
I have a pair of rabbit ears just for occasions like this.
I will figure it out. Maybe I can make something out of tinfoil like we used to do back in the kitchen.
A hanger?
Yep. Coat hanger, tinfoil, whatever it took to watch Nixon ascend the stairs of a helicopter back in 74. So here we are, and the Bears got – look, they won. However.
Damn it.
Whew, this stat blew my mind. This is from Bill Barnwell. Okay, get your head around this for a second. Teams trailing by two or more scores at halftime who failed to score an offensive touchdown all game had been 2-306 – since 2000, the Bears have made it 3-306.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
It was like that game with the exception of turnovers.
Right.
Because
Rex turned the ball over 6 times in that game. I'm not being hyperbolic.
No, he did.
He turned the ball over 6 times in that game, and they won.
Yep.
I've got a stat for you. This is from our buddy Robert Mays from True Media. 51.2% of the Bears' offensive plays went for 0 yards or negative yards.
Ooh, really?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, look, you know if you've been listening to this show, we have gone out of our way to try to balance reality with exuberance.
Yes.
And with excitement and with hope. And with fun, but we always have promised you from the moment the moment Lovie Smith decided, screw it, I'm going for the win.
Build that man a statue.
And got that pick with everything else that was going on. We said, look, we're going to bring you opinions that sometimes might burst your bubble. Bernstein, you're taking the fun out of this. Well, sometimes guys pushing your center into the backfield can take the fun out of it, too. And I've been hung up on the center position since the Super Bowl, since before the Super Bowl, hung up on improving the center position. How do they still need a center?
There are questions all around that offensive line. But this is why, like, you hate to be a wet blanket because you want people to celebrate. It's great for us when the Bears are good. I actually think for the score – this is a win-win because they won the game, but you walk away from that game going, there's some stuff that the Bears have got to figure out. There's some stuff that Caleb has to figure out. And the whole reason that we tell you this is because we don't want you to forget the history of it. Rookie quarterbacks themselves struggle quite a bit.
And Bears quarterbacks suck.
Well, but I don't even want to make it Bears quarterback.
I'm just saying, that's part of the history, though.
But, for example, I kept pointing out, all around the league, you've got a rookie quarterback, someone's telling you that rookie quarterback is great. And then you watched Bo Nix play yesterday. And you watch Jaden Daniels play yesterday. And there were nice moments for both of them. But you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. The NFL is really hard.
And when we played Matt Bowen's comments about Denard Wilson and about the kinds of defenses that he was expecting, there was a chorus that was telling us and telling you, and we tried to bring it to you, about working from the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And making a young quarterback make decisions from the pocket and have to see things and anticipate things rather than waiting for them to come open. That's what a lot of smart people said was going to happen.
Yes.
That's what happened.
And that's exactly, and it's going to keep, and you talk about hell coming to breakfast. He's going to see all sorts of stuff Sunday night. They've got enough talent and they've got creative people on the defensive side. They're going to put him in some really awkward positions. Now, the hope is that all of this, like, that's all of it, is an opportunity to watch the growth of a quarterback. For example, one of the things that I hope that Caleb learns from yesterday is, you know what you can't do in the NFL unless you are, like, real special?
Run backwards?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a bad idea. There's a couple of guys who can get away with it. Lamar and maybe Justin Fields. Maybe. Occasionally Patrick Mahomes will do that where he just backs up.
Yeah, the guy in Arizona can spin out of there.
Kyler.
Too. He can, he's got a little bit of sizzle when he does
but
that.
But you can't go 20 yards back.
That ends badly for you.
It does. So I hope that he learns that. But here, and I said it in the video last night, I thought that the third down play before the second Santos long field goal was a huge play by Caleb Williams.
Just
huge.
Taking up the slack?
Well, realizing that you had the penalty that put you 10 yards back and took you out of field goal range. And it's a third, was a third and 13. And you go, I don't need to get the first down. I need to get us back
third
in.
Yeah, I have a third and 14, scramble short. That was the field goal that cut it to one.
Right. That's a smart play. An incompletion there probably doesn't get you the field goal. Getting 6 yards on that play may have changed the game. You get into a position, a quarterback, one of the quarterback's best friends is a good kicker. And that's when I said to people, like, on Twitter, if they have to win this game with special teams and defense, so be it. And that's what they were able to do yesterday.
Well, the defense got better when Matt Eberflus made some changes to the alignment, and he realized that they were attacking the edges. So he pulled the defensive ends out a little bit. They widened some of their splits.
They were doing like almost like a wide nine technique.
Right, but it wasn't the wide nine designed to just go balls out at the quarterback with ears pinned back. It was more of a containment nine.
It's you're using it so you can fill up space out there and that you have an extra body on the outside that's not getting washed out in some of the plays. Like, the flip side of what Dan's talking about was last night. Aiden Hutchinson lines up in a wide nine often, and that's so that he can just use his speed to destroy a tackle and get to the quarterback. But, yeah, that was smart stuff, like smart adjustments by the Bears to understand offensively things were not clicking, and they had to figure out a way to win the game. And I know that it wasn't pretty and it didn't look the way that people wanted it to look. But I say this all the time. Wins buy you time. It buys you time. So think about how everyone feels today if they lose that game. This is a coach's dream.
That's what halftime felt like. My God, some of the Twitter conversation at halftime was insane.
Yes.
And I know it would look bad. It sucked. That was bad. But the level of panic that set in after 30 minutes of football was hilarious.
Yeah, because it didn't look right. People were expecting to see you know, Caleb making great plays. And it just, he will. Like, I think that you're going to see great plays in the passing game for him because there were some opportunities. There were also some drops yesterday. But he threw a fluttery ball towards the end zone. That's got to be caught. But it wasn't
hit him in both hands.
It wasn't his best ball.
It hit him in both hands.
I agree.
$25 million.
But I'm just saying that that's the type of stuff that happens inside of a game.
Well, I look at it like this. If you were going to get to 9 or 10, that had to be one of them. And it was.
It was. And you walk out of this game and you go, okay, everyone can take a deep breath. You're still 1-0. The defense it was maybe even better than what people thought. And that adjustment inside, because they were getting, I'll give Tennessee credit. They figured out how to use the aggression of the Bears against them with some misdirection stuff.
They're always going to be susceptible to that as their coach to flow to the ball, hits principle, whatever it is. You're going to be susceptible to some backside stuff.
But then they were like, oh, yeah, you're Will Levis. That's right. You're not good at football. So why don't we just start doing some of that? And then you can do your little thing where you're like, I'm going to flick it out of bed. Oh, wait, there's a guy there. And now he's running into the end zone. And you're in surrender, Cobra.
On the field, before he's even passed you, you look like you've been taken prisoner.
Oh, no.
What have I done?